Shopify grows your business no matter how far or big you grow. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. Whether you're selling your fans' next favorite shirt or an exclusive piece of podcast merch, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. Allbirds, Rothy's, Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/income, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/income now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in.
Hi, everybody, and welcome to episode 310 of the Professional Book Nerds Podcast. This is Adam. I forgot to say it's presented by Overdrive, but if you've listened to any of them, you know that by now. This is Adam. Jill's over there. Hi, Jill.
Hi.
And we have two other people in here, and I hate when podcasts do the thing where they talk for like 11 minutes before they introduce the guests, and they're just, I imagine, just staring at them like Kristen's doing to me right now. So Kristen and Emma are with us. So hello, ladies.
Hi.
Hey, how's it going?
First one was Emma. Second one was Kristen. So we are going to do some recommendations for our Professional Book Nerds 2019 Reading Challenge today, and we thought we'd enlist two more librarians into the mix. I do want to re-clarify, because there's been like some write-ups lately, again, that have been talking about the podcast, which is great, but they just say that we're both librarians, and I don't feel like I can take credit for that, because I'm not. I didn't do all the schooling you guys did. I'm librarian adjacent, so. Three librarians and an Adam. It's like a crappy sitcom.
I'm technically not a librarian either.
Oh, what?
I have a master's, but not an MLIS.
I did not know.
I knew that.
Yeah.
Wow. But, you know what? Just leave.
Your whole life is a lie.
No, no. I give her permission to stay.
Okay. All right.
I did do additional schooling.
Okay. Well, I didn't even do like word one of the library schooling, so I'm making it work. Okay. So before we do stuff, Jill, do you want to tell people where they can get a hold of us? Because I know I will forget if we don't do it up the top.
Sure. They can go to our website, professionalbooknerds.com. From there, they can get all of our social links. We are on Twitter and Instagram at ProBookNerds.
Yep.
Oh my gosh, at the moment there, we could not remember. You can get to our Viber community from there as well and chat books with all of us and others. And be sure to email us at professionalbooknerds@overdrive.com.
Nailed it. Okay, so for people that might not know, we are doing a reading challenge in 2019, similar to like Book Riot or Goodreads or any of the other places. The Reading Glasses podcast has one too. So we have 12 different reading challenges that you can do. You can find the whole sheet at our website or all over our social media or on Overdrive's blog, blah, blah, blah. If you complete all 12 of the challenges and either send us a screenshot or a JPEG or for some reason you want to fax it to us because it's 1993, send it to us on our beeper. At the end of this year, we will pick some winners and we'll give away some devices. So we are going to give you some reading recommendations to help out with that. And one thing I noticed when I was picking the recommendation ones we're going to do today, a lot of ours are very personal. Like, hey, read a book from someone who is a different nationality or religion than you. So that's kind of be guessing at everyone else at that. So the ones we picked were kind of across the board. So today we're going to do books written by two or more authors, a book that has appeared on the ALA's Frequently Challenged Book List, an audiobook of a memoir or autobiography read by the author, and then a retelling of a classic book, fairy tale, or play. Do we just want to go around the two rooms?
The rooms?
The rooms, plural.
Let's do it.
Okay. Yeah. Jill, did I forget anything?
I don't think so.
All right,
I
cool.
think that's all of it.
Just making sure. All right, so we'll start with books written by two or more authors. Is that kosher? Yeah? Okay. All right, Kristen, you want to pick one first?
I would love to. So I got a little bit creative with this just because when I was thinking about two or more authors, the first thing I thought about was comics and graphic novels. since.
Ooh, that's so smart. That's a good job. That's a good job.
Yeah, because I was like, you have two different stories. You have the actual written out dialogue that the characters are talking to each other with, and then you actually have the drawing and what the artist did, which conveys another story on top of it. So I've been on a Marvel kick lately. We just got Marvel Comics here at Overdrive, so I've been very excited about that and trying to give them to everyone. And so I chose Ms. Marvel, by G. Willa Wilson and Adrian Alfona. And this is the first volume, and it's the story of Kamala Khan, who, after going to this, like, crazy party, something weird happens, and all of a sudden she has all the powers that Captain Marvel has. And so she's trying to kind of manage these newfound powers along with dealing with regular high school stuff and also dealing with her family's expectations and her own expectations for how to live as a Muslim young lady in a very modern New Jersey town. So it's so good. It's been out for a while, a few years. And so if you haven't read it, I would highly suggest it.
I should also mention we'll put all the books we're going to talk about in the show notes, so don't worry about writing them down, but that's a real, I really like what you did there.
Yeah.
That was really good. So that was Ms. Marvel, you said, right?
Yes.
Also, good job marketing Overdrive stuff, saying we just got the Marvel comics.
Congratulations, that was wonderful.
Good teamwork.
Thank you,
yeah.
Thank you very much.
Really good thought leadership there. Emma, how about you?
Sure. So the first, I have two recommendations from two different sets of authors. The first one is The Royal We by Heather Cox and Jessica Morgan. This book came out, I believe, in 2016, and I think predicted Meghan Markle and Prince Harry because it's an American girl who's, you know, a commoner, and she falls in love with a prince and sort of navigates that. And the authors of this book also run a website whose name I will not say because it sounds like another word, even though it's not a curse word.
Oh, I didn't realize that was bad.
But I would recommend checking them out because they're hilarious. But this book was funny. It's sort of romancy and charming and well-written and has a delightful cover. And who doesn't like a royal romance? If you don't tell me. And then the other suggestion I had for this is a couple of recent books from Christina Lauren, which is the combined pen name of two people, Christina and Lauren. And so I would recommend Josh and Hazel's Guide to Not Dating. This follows Josh and Hazel, obviously. I'm really selling these books here. And so Hazel is a lot. She thinks she's got a big personality. She's not super into dating. Josh has known Hazel a long time and just kind of sees her as, you know, a spectacle, an acquaintance, you know, just somebody that's kind of entertaining. But after they both have sort of bad dating experiences, they turn to each other as friends and set each other up on progressively terrible double blind dates. And I think it's clear something romantic sort of sparks out of them just spending time together. So both of those are cute, charming, very light and lovely. And I'm just in a rom-com mood. It's February, so there you go.
I dig it. Jill, how about you?
I also have two. The first one is My Plain Jane by Cynthia Hand, Brody Ashton, and Jody Meadows. And this is a... it actually works for one of the later ones as well, if you want, you know, have to pick one or the other. But it is a retelling of Jane Eyre. And it follows aspiring author Charlotte Bronte and supernatural investigator Alexander Blackwood as they are drawn together on the most epic ghost hunt this side of Wuthering Heights. So it's sort of...
I get it.
Like, yeah, so it sort of turns the story of Jane Eyre on its head a little bit.
It's funny, I actually had one of their other books, My Lady Jane,
right,
as another option for the written by two or more authors. And then they have another one coming out that I can't remember what it's called, but it's about Calamity Jane.
Nice.
Yeah. I was like, that's awesome.
That's just their
Famous Janes.
Famous Janes.
Yeah, it's, the series is something like Janesies or something. I don't know.
Oh, that's funny. That would make sense.
That's really, really funny.
My other one for two authors is All the President's Men by Carl Bernstein and Bob Woodard. Somewhat.
We can't even get away from each other's lists when we're not doing monthly picks. That's hysterical. Sorry. Go ahead.
No,
talk
you
about
can
it.
Talk about it.
No,
if you
I have two other ones. Go ahead.
So, this seems like a very somewhat timely and relevant book.
Whatever do you mean?
So, this is two journalists, of course, and it's nonfiction, investigated the Watergate break-in and the scandal and all of that fun stuff. It was a fabulous movie with Dustin Hoffman and Robert Redford.
Yes.
It's a really good book, you know, all about... I love anything investigative journalist, and again, somewhat timely.
Yeah, it's I also it's a running joke. Joe and I literally now we've gone from always knowing what it's going to be on each other's list to can't get away from each other's lists. I will do two as well since I had three, and then that was one of them. My first one is "Some Sing, Some Cry" by Intozake Shanga and Ifa Baeza. They're actually sisters who both changed their name in the middle of their life, which is why their names don't sound anything alike. And it kind of reminds me of Roots, where it's a story told of one family across seven generations. And it's this family that starts at the beginning of the book is they're in slavery, and then it goes to their entire generations of families' lives through... being freed and both world wars and the Harlem Renaissance and Vietnam and all this stuff. And it's a really wonderful, beautiful story. They're actually both award-winning playwrights. One of them wrote The Ballad of Emmett Till, and the other one wrote For Colored Girls Who Have Committed Suicide When the Rainbow Is Enough. Both of those were on Broadway and won a whole bunch of awards. So it's really beautiful, a bit of a heavy read compared to what everyone else picked, of course, except for All the President's Men. Jill and I went dark while you guys went light. But those are really good. And then the
balance.
Other one, just what's that?
Sorry, balance.
Yeah, and then the other one I had, just because I can't not talk about Neil Gaiman like once a week, is Good Omens. So I don't have to talk about that. It's Neil Gaiman and Terry Pratchett.
Are you excited for the Amazon show?
I'm so excited about it. I'm so excited. I actually... got to speak with an author whose name I will not give away, who got to see the beginning of it, and she was like, it was the coolest thing I've ever seen. So
wait, not only got to see it
and like hang out with Neil Gaiman. Yeah, when we stop recording, I'll tell you guys that story. It's really, it was like amazing. Like, she's like, are we recording still? I was like, no. And she's like, cool, I have a story to tell you. Did you have another one? Did you just want to do that? We all accidentally did two.
Yeah.
So I just wanted to make sure I didn't step
here. I'm good with the one I picked. Yeah.
Cool. QL. Okay, so we can do books that appeared on Frequently Challenged Book List now. Let's start with Emma.
Okay. I don't feel like this is a super original pick, but I love this book so much that I'm just going to talk about it. And I meant to look up how to pronounce his last name because I always mean to, and I did not, so sorry. The Perks of Being a Wallflower. This was most recently on the band... or most challenged list, I think in 2014. But I love this book. I just feel like it's so realistic of what it's kind of like, and not even only to be a teen navigating life, but just like life is hard sometimes. And so I just love the way this was written. I think this is a great book. It obviously does have things that are a little bit inappropriate for a younger audience, so I would definitely recommend high school and older. But I love this book, and it's Perks of Being a Wallflower by Stephen, Chbosky? I don't know if that's right.
I think it's Chbosky, Robin, in How I Met Your Mother.
And this is actually a book where I have a tough time deciding whether or not I like the book or movie better, because they were both so well done, and he directed the film as well, I believe. So, anyways,
that's awesome.
Thumbs up to that. Really well done. That's mine. And nice. Then the other one I have, if we're going to do two, or should I wait?
You can do a second one. Sure. Okay.
This is not super original, but I would recommend Harry Potter.
Well, I'm going to put it on the list, but...
Because how many actually, times has Harry Potter shown up in your show notes?
Oh, God. I actually kind of want to do a search when you get
we
done.
We should count, yeah.
It's a few.
Yeah, maybe one or two.
A few, yeah.
But no, in all seriousness, I feel like we're to the point now where there are still a large group of people who have never read Harry Potter.
Yeah, they're called monsters.
No, whether it's because they're, probably too young to read it at this point, or they were, quote, too old to read it when it came out and just never got around to it. And I would encourage all of those people to read it. Because it's not just for children.
There are the people where it's like, oh, man, it just got too hot. I don't want to read it anymore. And it's like, no, you should read it.
You should read
it. So if you're one of those people, just read it.
And then, I'm sorry, my husband is in this camp. He's like, I've seen the films. No. Read the books.
How can you be married to an Overdrive person?
Read the books. No, because, no. He actually doesn't even have a library card.
What? This is beyond upsetting.
So, Emma, the struggle. I would
Jill just gave Emma like a death stare.
I know. The worst look. I've tried, you guys. But I would just encourage people to read it.
It's a digital card. Just like.
Exactly. I'll just sign him up. but yeah, because he's kind of in that age group where he was, you know, too old to read it when it came out because it was sort of touted as children's books. And now he's like, oh, I've seen the movies, so I don't want to go back and read it now. So I've contemplated getting the audio and just playing it in our house or just reading it aloud to him. That's all. Someone else can talk now.
Jill, go ahead.
Okay, so my two books that have appeared on Alias Frequently Challenged list. The first one is The Bluest Eye by Toni Morrison from nearby Lorain County. Or Lorain
What's
City.
Up?
What's up, Tony?
My hometown.
I love The Bluest Eye. And I will admit, there's some graphic scenes in there dealing with sexual assault, but it is so beautifully written. Like, the whole book, including those scenes, which is really weird to say, but Tony really does have a gift for words, so I highly recommend that one. And then the other one is Scary Stories to Tell in the Dark.
I had that, too!
Yeah, of all three of us.
Yeah.
Sorry, guys.
That was okay. Did you know that from 1990 to 1999, that was the most challenged book?
I kind of understand. I mean, those drawings are so creepy.
It's creepy.
I love them.
Yeah.
They're so terrible.
Have you seen the trailers
for
the movie?
I mean, you know I've seen them because I, like, all cap Slack messaged you. Have you guys seen the trailer, or like the teaser trailer?
I saw a teaser trailer.
That's
with
what I mean.
The, like,
the teaser
girl
trailers.
In the mirror with the spiders.
Yeah.
Oh, no.
So good.
Oh, no.
We should have like a whole episode of this just scary story.
Oh, as soon as it is like comes out, we're going to do like what we do with It. We'll go see it, and we'll give like a 3-hour breakdown. And this part. Okay. Yeah. Scary Stories is great. Kristen, do you have a couple?
I have one, which is I'm fine with that. I was sitting here being like, I'm really excited to talk about scary stories.
How about this? What do you have like a favorite of the let's put you on the spot?
Yeah, actually, well, so one of my favorite stories from that was the one where it's like, I think it's a jump scare kind of a one where you're supposed to tell it out loud to someone.
Yeah.
And so it was like, you're in the house and you're searching around the house and all of a sudden you walk down the basement stairs and there's something down there. And I can't remember exactly how it ends, nor do I want to give it away. yeah, but there's some sort of a jump scare in it that you're supposed to like tell it aloud to a person and like clap your hands really loud and it spooks them.
Cool. Can't wait to edit that.
Sorry.
Okay. Well, you probably got it, but I might just leave it in just be like, see, she was right. She got it.
But the book I'll talk about other than that one is Grendel by John Gardner, which is also a crossover for a retelling. It's Beowulf told from the perspective of the monster Grendel. And what I loved about this book is that it's not just a straight up and down retelling from the monster's perspective. It's very philosophical. It is about this creature kind of coming into the world and figuring out his place and it kind of progresses through that. It's a very short book, but it contains a punch. It's just, it was awesome. I read it when I was, I think in college, and it was just the right time for it because it really does talk about self-actualization and finding your own personal philosophy through, and Grendel does that by kind of being beat up on and then also talking to other creatures in his world and just taking in the world around him. So I loved that book. I think a lot of kids had to read it in school. I don't know if they still do or not, but I thought it was great.
Nice. My two that I've got is Of Mice and Men by John Steinbeck. That was the two that I have are books that I read in my like honors English class when I was a senior, and they both really, really stuck with me. We actually had a lot of books that stuck with like that. Shout out to Mrs. Mahoney if she listens, because we also did Hills Like White Elephants mm-hmm. that year. Yeah, we had a whole bunch of like amazing stories that stuck with me. But A Lesson Before Dying is a story. It's by Ernest J. Gaines, and it is the story of a young man who returns to like 1940s Cajun country to teach, and he visits a black youth on death row for a crime he didn't commit. And it's just the story of their conversations back and forth. It's kind of like In Cold Blood, if In Cold Blood had a person who wasn't guilty and a horrible person in jail. So not like In Cold Blood at all, I guess. But it's really good that the lessons really stuck with me, and it's pretty sad. It's pretty... A Lesson Before Dying is very... very kind of, it's very serious, but it was really, really good, and it's all about compassion. And then Of Mice and Men is like the first thing I ever read with huge amounts of foreshadowing in it, and I just remember at the end being like awed and blown away by it. So, and fun fact, I don't know if I ever talked about this, when we finished reading Of Mice and Men in that class, we then watched Of Mice and Men that had John Malkovich in it. And that was the first time I'd seen that. And then I went home that night and watched Rounders. So I saw John Malkovich play Lenny and then play Teddy KGB in the same day. And I was like, John Malkovich is the greatest actor in the world. So I've always remembered that, just being like, wow, what range this man has.
Oh, as evidenced by his scene in being John Malkovich when like he goes into the John Malkovich mind. And I love that scene.
Yeah.
It's just Malkovich everywhere. Malkovich.
Speaking of John Malkovich, there was a movie on Netflix that just came out, Velvet Buzzsaw, he's in it, and this has nothing to do with books, but it's all about these art critics, and Jake Gyllenhaal's in it. It was like the main thing on Netflix all last week.
I've seen the meme.
Yeah, so it's really...
that's what that's from.
Yeah. the meme. It's all about these paintings that, like, some people think they're evil. Like, do they come to life? All I could think of is Viggo the Carpathian from Ghostbusters the whole time. But it's really, really good. And John Malkovich is just... He's, like, the most John Malkovich in it. I feel like he's not acting in it. He's just, like... They're, like, stand in the corner and be John Malkovich. And he's, like, I can do that. And then he did. And then I found $5. That was a terrible story. Let's move on. I want to do audiobooks of a memoir or autobiography read by the author?
Mm-hmm.
Sure. Yeah, let's do that. Jill.
Okay, I have two. First one is Gabrielle Union, We Are Going to Need More Wine. It was so good, you guys. Do you guys listen to it? I highly recommend the audiobook, obviously. Like, that's why I put it down. But
always need more wine.
Yeah, we always need more wine. So she tackles a lot of different topics from, like, Hollywood. She has this whole section on 10 Things I Hate About You, which is just delightful when she talks about Heath. And her marriage and raising black boys in America today. I mean, it covers a wide range of things, but it's really well done. And... you know, she's an actress. She does comedy. She has that right tone to kind of to read this book. And then the other one is In Pieces by Sally Field. Just Sally Field. Like, what more, what more do you need?
I just, the way you just described that, I feel like that's how a lot of the ones that I always listen to, and like when I describe, like when someone's like, give me an audiobook recommendation, I just like tell them, they're like, why? I'm like, because it's that person. Like,
yeah.
Come on.
Yeah.
But sorry, I didn't mean to cut you off.
That's okay. Those are my two.
Okay. Kristen.
I have three. This is making up for when I just had one and the other. So the first one I had down is Hunger Makes Me a Modern Girl by Carrie Brownstein. This one's a couple years old, but it is a great story, and she is an awesome narrator. So Carrie Brownstein is known, you might know her from Portlandia or her band Sleater Kinney. And her memoir is about growing up in the Pacific Northwest during, you know, the Pussy Riot music scene and kind of coming up with all of those artists and the women that she really, who inspired her and who she collaborated with. And then also about forming Sleater Kinney and her relationships with the band members and also her mental illness. I remember listening to this book and then immediately making a Spotify playlist of all the artists and songs she talked about. So if you really enjoy music, if you enjoy kind of that Northwestern music scene, the grunge of the 90s, I would say highly recommend listening to this book. It was awesome. The next one is Party of One by Dave Holmes. Have any of you listened to this one or read it?
I have not, but I'm familiar with Mr. Holmes.
Yes. So he was an MTV VJ back when they had, like, Make Me a MTV VJ contest, and he happened to be the runner-up. So he talks about how he was a, and slash is, a huge, like, music and pop culture nerd, and mostly for things in the 80s and 90s. It's about his childhood and how he just loved all of these bands and people, and about kind of being closeted for a while and then finally coming out and accepting himself. It's hilarious. I remember driving home and driving back from Cleveland to Chicago and listening to this and just laughing and crying. It's such a good listen, and this is another one where you're going to want to have some sort of music service ready to listen to all the songs after.
He actually does a Spotify, I can't think of which like channel it's on, but he does a Spotify show once a week where he does like an hour long show of like a specific theme, and he just picks music all around that specific theme. It's really, really cool. It's really cool how he does it. And heard a lot of new music because of Mr. Holmes. So.
Yeah, it's awesome.
Yeah.
And my last one is Born Standing Up by Steve Martin.
Yeah.
Yeah, I love Steve Martin. I've always been a huge fan of his. And this is obviously read by him. And it's about, if you only know him from movies, which is where I knew him from because I'm not that old. No offense.
All right.
But he did stand up in like the 70s. So that was before my time. But he's talking about how he got into stand-up, kind of what made him think to do it. And it's just interesting because he talks about being, you know, kind of shyer and how it wasn't something that he gravitated towards at first, and, you know, how he was a banjo player. And that's something that he very much used in his stand-up. And yeah, so it was just, it was a really interesting read about his philosophy behind stand-up and then just about what got him started and where he went.
Speaking of his stand-up, you should watch his... He did a Netflix special last year with Martin Short. That was, like... I am a huge comedy nerd, so I, though not being that old, did know all of... I worship, like, good stand-up, and his is amazing. And him and Martin Short, it's very, very funny. It's like a old variety-style show, like Smothers Brothers type of thing, which he used to be on. And it's so absurd and perfect. And he does play a bunch of banjo in it. So.
Yeah, he does. He's a great banjo player.
Yeah, oh, yeah. He has like albums.
Yeah, yeah. They are excellent.
Yeah. Man, I love Steve Martin. Jill, you want to go?
Jill already went.
Jill, you already went. Emma, did I? Wait, I'm out of order. Sorry, I started with Jill.
I can go.
Emma, sorry.
We'll get you some coffee after we...
I actually would love that.
Film, after we record this. So the two books that I have are... one is An Oldie But a Goodie, Yes Please, by Amy Poehler. This was one of the first audiobooks I listened to, I feel like, in modern times, through Overdrive, that I really, like, actually got into audiobooks more, since my inclination is not to listen to audio. I just prefer to read them. But this one was so good. She's hilarious. The other people that she brought in to read some sections of her book were hilarious, and I felt really just engaged and into it. And I just feel like it's such a delight. I don't know. Oldie but a goodie.
Yeah, it's very, like, very good.
And then the second one that I would recommend is from 2018. This came out in October of last year. And it is This Will Only Hurt a Little by Busy Phillips. To be honest, I had sort of known about her, obviously, from some of her movies and Freaks and Geeks and Cougar Town and things like that. But I will say I did actually, you know, fall in love with her from Instagram stories, like I'm sure a lot of people did. And so this book really is kind of like a confessional or a diary style. And she really delves into her childhood, life in Hollywood, being best friends with Michelle Williams. She also touches on when Heath Ledger died, Dawson's Creek, and kind of a whole bunch of things. And then also when kind of her Instagram stories took off. And now she has a late night talk show and all kinds of things. So this was really nice. If you enjoy her Instagram stories or her performances in, you know, any of her TV shows, this is very much in the same sort of tone as I feel like just her little Instagram snippets are in. And it's just very relatable and very real, which I think is refreshing because we might not see that on Instagram or on the internet where you have all these celebrities going to the Oscars and whatnot. And in some of them, she's just very down to earth, like, no, it kind of sucked, or before this, I had no money, and all those kinds of things. So she does a really good job of kind of balancing the challenges of how she got to where she is, but then also some of the fun things that obviously only she would be in a position to do. And I will stop babbling.
No,
to you.
I enjoyed your babble.
On to you.
As David Gray would say, babble on. What's up? That's an old music joke. Thank you. I was like, somebody better laugh at it. It's so stupid. But
I'm like, okay, don't encourage the babble. Yeah.
I
laughed.
Thank you. That's all I was hoping for. All right, my first one is Still Foolin' 'Em by Billy Crystal. Much in the same vein as Steve Martin and Martin Short, and all, like he's just an incredible stand-up comedian. And Billy Crystal has a wonderful background in Broadway, and he grew up with his father owning a music store, so he got to like meet all of these famous like jazz musicians, and like famous jazz musicians would babysit him while his dad was running errands, and just all this crazy stuff. And talks about how he was up and coming, and like, he did this stand, it's pretty famous now, but he did this speech when he was doing stand-up before anyone had discovered him. He did this incredible impersonation of Howard Cosell and Muhammad Ali. And somebody happened to randomly see it, and they said, we're doing this huge thing at ESPN to honor Muhammad Ali. Would you come do it? And like, no one knew who Billy Crystal was really at that point. So he's like, sure. So he goes on stage, and he's a little tiny white Jewish guy doing Muhammad Ali's voice in front of Muhammad Ali, who has never seen him before. And Muhammad Ali looks at him and then starts laughing, and then goes up to him after and tells everyone that's his new little brother. And then for the rest of their lives, Billy Crystal and Muhammad Ali were like best friends, which makes me so happy. And so it's really good. I love, like, Billy Crystal was one of those people where, like, a lot of times when celebrities pass away, we're always like, oh man, I really should have spent more time like really being excited that that person was amazing. Billy Crystal in my mind, like every day I wake up, I'm like, you know who I'm really glad is still around? Billy Crystal. So that's Still Fooling Him. He also has 700 Sundays, which was a Broadway show for a while, and it was also on HBO, and it's really, really good as well. Heartland by Sarah Smarsh. She was on the podcast recently, but I can't stress enough how wonderful her book is. It's about her growing up in Kansas and being a fifth generation farmer in Kansas, and from this really transient poor family, and how she kind of I don't want to say like escaped that, but like broke the mold and decided to you know, do a little bit more with her life than that. And then she just talks about poverty in the rural areas of our country and how it's often looked over and people don't really think about it. So it's really, really good. And then I just can't not talk about Carrie Ells' As You Wish, which is, if you're not familiar with him, I don't know where you've been, but he's famously in Princess Bride and Robin Hood Men in Tights and Liar Liar and all these different things. But As You Wish is basically his recounting of the story of how Princess Bride got made And you have to listen to the audiobook because yep. he does all these interviews with like Rob Reiner and a bunch of the cast, and they tell really funny Andre the Giant stories. Oh, it's so good. So I went quickly through those, but those are mine. All right, last ones we're going to do is retelling of a classic book, fairy tale, or play. Just Shot in the Dark. Did anyone else see the Hogarth Shakespeare books?
No.
Wow. I thought sure you guys would all have had those.
No.
I'm just going to start with those really quick. So if you are not familiar, there is this publisher called Hogarth, and they are actually still doing a few. There's another one is coming out with, I think, Gillian Flynn next year. Mm-hmm. But they do... They've taken a bunch of famous, well-known authors, and they are doing retellings of Shakespeare stories. So I just picked three, but there's like eight of them at this point. So there's Hagseed by Margaret Atwood, which is The Tempest. There's Shylock Is My Name by Howard Jacobson, which is The Merchant of Venice. And then there's The Gap of Time by Jeanette Winterson, which is The Winter's Tale. So those are the three I've read, which are really, really good. But there's like literally, I think, eight of them. So if you are interested in Shakespeare or maybe couldn't approach the classic stuff when you were younger and wanted to still understand the stories, those are really cool ways. They're like modern versions of Shakespeare. So got through those really quickly. Kristen.
I actually have four for this one, but I probably won't talk about all of them. Two of them are based on like Russian fairy tales and folk tales.
Yes.
So the first one I'll talk about is The Bear and the Nightingale by Catherine Arden. That was part of the Winter Night trilogy. She just came out with the final book in the trilogy. I absolutely adored this trilogy. It takes place in medieval Russia, and it's about this young girl who has special abilities. She can talk to these spirits, like house spirits, things like that, and then spirits of the wood, and like the Winter King is a big part of the whole trilogy. They are excellent, well-told, very interesting, and of course they contain some Russian folklore elements, and I was not very well read in Russian folklore and fairy tales, and then I got very interested in them after reading the first book. So that one was awesome. The second one is The Snow Child by Eowyn Ivey. I can't pronounce your name correctly.
I think you actually got that right.
Yes.
I think so.
Yes.
E-O-I-N?
E-O-W-Y-N.
Ah.
Mm-hmm. Eowyn. So this takes place in, I think it's like early 1900s, Alaska. It's an old married couple who have always wished for a child. And one day they go out and they build a snow girl. And the next day, this little girl comes to their house and they take her in, and it's kind of about where did she come from and them being parents, and it's very much a winter read. It is reminiscent of a cold, dark winter night. It's atmospheric and gorgeous. It's also a little bit sad, so if you're not in the mood for something that might make you tear up a little, skip that one. Okay, the next one.
Not to cut you off, wasn't that movie The Odd Life of Timothy Green like the tree version of this? Like, these two parents wish about... You know what I mean? Like, yeah, wasn't it kind of... It was like they wished, like they planted a tree or something, uh-huh. and Timothy Green just pops up.
It's based on like a Russian or a Slovakian... folktale called like The Snow Child or something like that.
I just meant The Odd Life of Timothy Green.
I understand. Oh, sorry.
No, I was like, wow, I feel like this is the same.
What about throwback? Gosh, when was that one?
I just remember listening to the How Did This Get Made podcast about it, where they talk about it and make fun of it. So Snow Child is better than Timothy Green.
Probably. I'll keep on the folktale chain for right now.
Yeah.
Where the Mountain Meets the Moon by Grace Lynn is a juvenile tale about this little girl who is trying to help her, I think it's her mom or dad or village. It's been a bit since I've read this one. But it's based on Chinese folklore, and it's kind of like a Wizard of Oz-esque journey where she's looking for friends to help her and she has to go. She's seeking. Oh, my gosh. I can't even tell the story of this book, but it was so good. It was really, really good. I think this is one that a lot of middle schoolers have read in the classroom, but I loved it. I thought it was great. And my last one. Sorry, I'm trying to get through these quickly.
You're good. We're not really rushed for time. You know, we're okay.
I also feel like I've talked for a while. So
that's my entire life.
All right, the last one is My Lady's Choosing by Kitty Curran. And this one is a romantic choose-your-own-adventure story for adults.
So good.
It's so good. And it's got riffs on some of the quintessential romantic characters of literature. So we have the Mr. Darcy character, Heathcliff / Mr. Rochester, Jamie from Outlander, and then Amelia Peabody, if anyone knows her. She was early 1900s, like Egyptian explorer lady. So they're all kind of, I think, based on those characters. And you can go through and all of the adventures. And it was just, it was really fast read. I feel like choose your own adventure reads usually are. And I just loved it. It was so fun.
There's no way Kitty Curran is her real name. There's no way. I don't believe it. It has to be a nom de plume.
I would think, yeah.
Oh, yeah, it's so fun. Why don't you two go? I don't care. You guys pick.
I'll go.
Yeah.
All right, so I have three. One of them's kind of a cheat, though. So my first one is Blade So Black by L.L. McKinney. This is an urban fantasy version of Alice's Adventures in Wonderland.
I saw this. This looks so good.
So Alice, and it's a diverse read. She's black. Alice, you know, is trained to battle these monsters that come at nighttime, and she goes into this like dark underworld known as Wonderland with magic weapons and fighting skills. But in the real world, you know, she's like any teenager. She has an overprotective mom. Her friend is like super high maintenance, and her GPA is slipping. I feel like having to go fight monsters, like that would happen. But then her mentor is poisoned, and Alice has to delve deeper into Wonderland than she's ever been before. And it just sounds really good. Like, it's so good.
And I think it's a trilogy.
It is. Yeah, I think so. Like, this is the first in a series. My other one, second one, is called The Winters. By
I want to read this.
Right, Lisa, Gabrielle. Okay, to be fair, I'm not sure what we're defining as classic book, but this is a retelling of Daphne du Maurier's Rebecca. What? I don't know.
That's a retelling.
It's our challenge.
It's a retelling.
I think.
No, I know
good.
It's a retelling, but it's like a retelling of a classic book. I'm like,
I think that's classic.
Okay,
Joe, we came up with these together.
But we didn't define classic, I don't think.
I think that counts.
I think that but counts.
Yeah. Okay,
no,
anyway.
That counts.
Whatever. So, we never discussed terminology. For classic. Oh, look, I'm just. Okay.
No one's going to yell at you. We made this.
Yeah, there's wiggle room.
That's fair. So, this is a retelling of of Rebecca. Where, again, a young woman is off to marry this guy, Max Winter. He's a wealthy politician and recent widower. He has a teenage daughter named Danny, who I'm assuming is the Mrs. Danvers in this one. And I love Rebecca. I've talked about it many times. And I've been on hold for this one for a while. I'm really excited to read it.
Does the main character have a name?
I don't think so. No. I know. She stuck to that one. Yeah. And my third one, again, somewhat of a cheat because it's not a retelling of...
Again, our list.
Okay, I'm aware of that. I'm just a disclaimer for our listeners. It is not a retelling of a book or anything. It's actually a retelling of history, and it's The Dead Queen's Club by Hannah Capon, and it is a modern high school version of Henry VIII and his six wives.
Ooh.
Here's a fun thing, though. So Henry, he's a jock, and he's, you know, like the prom king, essentially, of the high school. And the main character is new. Her name is Annie. She's from Cleveland, so they call her Cleves. So she's Annie Cleves.
Oh,
come on,
man!
That's just genius. Oh, yes. That's so good. So I've not read this one yet. I'm super excited, though.
It's like the TV show Clone High that I always talk about. No one knows what Clone High is.
No.
There was a cartoon show on MTV when I was in high school. It was only on for one season, and it was all of these clones of famous people that were going through high school together. So it was like the clone of Abraham Lincoln and the clone of Cleopatra and the clone of Joan of Arc and Gandhi and all these people. And they knew that they were clones, and it was they were having this existential crisis, but it was also like hilarious. And this is it sounds very much like that. And I feel like I've been waiting 300 episodes to talk about Clone High, and I'm stuck with that.
Henry is the jock, and like the guy, and he's on his sixth girlfriend in 2 years. Two of them are dead, but nobody's like, that's like totally normal.
That's not weird.
Yeah.
I'm so excited.
I just put this book on hold.
Yeah.
I actually put both books you talked about on hold.
There you go. You're welcome.
As we sit here.
Also, Clone High was created by the people who made Scrubs. I'm just saying, bringing it back around if people want.
Watch it.
It's so good.
Can you find it anywhere?
I mean, I own the Blu-ray, so.
Oh, okay. All right.
It's probably streaming on some, like,
that's dedication.
Swedish Netflix.
That is dedicated.
Sweet.
I don't know. Hey, Emma, talk about some books.
Okay, so my two choices for retelling. The first one is Boy Snow Bird by Helen, Oyemi. Sorry, apologies. I didn't look up how to pronounce people's names. But this is a Snow White retelling from a couple of years ago. It's beautifully written. And it sort of takes the classic fairy tale and pushes it into a whole new direction. And I feel like this author is really great at, you know, obviously redoing something and completely making it their own, where you're reading and you notice sort of the familiar bits from these classic tales and these fairy tales, but then you kind of get to the end and it's completely different than how you thought it would be. And she has a new book that comes out in March, which is also kind of a retelling. It's called Gingerbread. And the covers of her books are stunning, just as a side visual note, look them up.
Oh, yeah, they're really pretty.
But Gingerbread is a retelling, I don't know, like kind of riff on how gingerbread is like magical. It's in classic children's stories. There's mention of Hansel and Gretel and all kinds of other things. But if you're interested in fairy tales and sort of that magical realism and literary fiction, I would recommend checking out her stuff. And that was two for the price of one because it's the same author. But the other one that I have is a retelling of Jane Eyre because I guess that's just what we're going to talk about today. but it is a different retelling. It is Jane Steele by Lindsay Fay. And this book opens with reader, I murdered him. So if you're not hooked at that, I don't know what to tell you. But this is a gothic retelling, and it follows Jane Steele, who's kind of down and out on her luck. She navigates or sort of seedy London, and rights wrongs on behalf of, you know, those less fortunate than herself, all while kind of avoiding getting arrested and getting in trouble. But when her aunt passes away, she kind of gets intrigued by who takes over her old estate called Highgate House. And his name is Mr. Thornfield. And naturally, he seeks a governess. So what better, you know, thing to do than apply and take that position and try and suss out if she is the heir to Highgate or not. This was really good. It's so unique. It's not like anything I've read before. And if you're interested in sort of any of the gothic-y thriller style of books, I would highly recommend checking this out. That is all.
I love that we had like one or two each for books by two or more authors, and then for retellings, we were like, here's 35 of them.
Yeah. It's a great category.
It was a great category. Yeah. Man, whoever came up with this list.
Well done.
Thanks. I had actually one more I forgot to talk about. It's The Forest Queen by Betsy Cornwell. It's a gender-bent Robin Hood, so it's wonderful.
Oh, cool.
Yeah, really, really fun. All right, that was a lot of book recommendations. It's actually like 40 of them. I have them all written down. They're all in the show notes. But seriously, if anyone wants to go, if anyone's heard of Clone High, just please tweet at us. I want to talk about Clone High with someone. So if you watched it, please tweet at us. Any are there other things you guys would like to talk about? What do you think? How did we do?
I think we did pretty well.
I think we did well too.
Pretty happy.
Jill, did I forget anything?
I don't think so.
Awesome. All right. Well, thank you as always, ladies. You're treasures.
Thank you.
Thank you.
And I hope you guys enjoyed this episode of the Professional Book Nerds Podcast.
Readers can sample and borrow the titles mentioned in today's episode from overdrive.com, and our library friends can add these titles to their collections and marketplace.
Lucky Land Casino, asking people, what's the weirdest place you've gotten lucky?
Lucky? In line at the deli, I guess?
Aha, in my dentist's office. More than once, actually.
Do I have to say?
Yes, you do.
In the car, before my kids' PTA meeting.
Really?
Yes.
Excuse me, what's the weirdest place you've gotten lucky?
I never win and tell.
Well, there you have it. You can get lucky anywhere, playing at LuckyLandSlots.com. Play for free right now. Are you feeling lucky? No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.